Welcome back to Brass Tacks. Just like to read this WhatsApp message for you. Why are there no serious laws to deal with indiscriminate burning? Do people understand that they are citizens with respiratory problems? There are adults and children alike who could die from smoke inhalation and have no recourse under the law, it seems. Would like to hear the parties, that means the political parties, on this. Sir and madam, this is an area that we have been complaining about for years. Schools have been closed. People have gone into have had their asthma attacks triggered by indiscriminate burning. You know, it's really not good enough. And the talk continues. It seems to be very little action in response. You know, I don't know what it will take. But I'll just repeat the notice we had just now where Springer Memorial School has been closed because of indiscriminate burning in the neighborhood. And they want the parents and guardians of the young ladies there to come and collect them as soon as possible. We are back on the air. It's 1:11. We go until 2. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price.
How are you today, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. Now, I really want to ask you 2 questions, and I hope you'll be able to answer the 2 questions that I want to ask you, because I'm a little slow. So, seeing that you're the scholar, I think you should be able to enlighten me.
Well, that means you got to be that real slow. I was never no scholar.
I will be much slower than you. Now, this is my first problem. In fact, the first question. Now, tell me something. You see the environmental problems that we have in the law courts at the present moment?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you have prisoners at Her Majesty Dodds, either serving the sentence or somebody on remand who's supposed to come down to court, can the superintendent of prisons release those prisoners down in that environment as they are at the present moment?
I mean, release the prisoners.
We have to have a court there at the present moment now. You think he can send them down to the court in that environment?
Well, nothing is happening at the courts. They may be sent down, but if there's no work going on at the courts, when they have to come. But there's nothing happening. Because remember, if you remember what Mrs. Weeks said from the Bar Association, that yesterday the judges were there, the judges are in place, they're ready to work. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have a stenographer, a court reporter, and if you don't have someone who could deal with the files and whatnot, then nothing really can happen. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's such a serious issue. I don't know. This is a major issue, you know.
Of course.
Right? Because right now, we know that we have a whole backlog of cases. And then, as a given, we have a backlog of cases. Now you have the court is not working at all because of this environmental issue. And because we have to make a decision as to where the people are going to go and whatnot. So it is a real serious problem.
But, you know, it had me a little baffled just a couple of days ago, you know. Let me tell you why. When this thing first began, the workers came out because of the environmental problem. And they were adamant that they were not going back into the court. But then you find you had another situation now where after the meeting, they were offered a shorter period of work schedules, and they was quite willing to go back into that environment. You think that's a lot about the public workers?
I spoke to 4 of those people, and we brought the story on Monday in the Daily Nation, all right?
Mm-hmm.
They are very concerned about the environmental conditions in the building. But you have to remember that they have to move twice. The files have to be clean. Then they have to go, for those who are based in the registry, they have to go to the Attorney General's office in Wilde. For those who are working in juvenile court and some of the other civil courts, they're going to the Lord Erskine Sanford Center. Then in a few weeks' time, 2-3 weeks after that, they have to then move again to back down the road to the Clicquot building. All right? So their concern really was that they have to move twice, and they wanted to avoid that. And that was their main concern.
So they would have preferred then to go back in the environment for the half day?
Yes, sir.
So, yeah. So I asked them, so they were going back into the same situation then, or they?
No, but sorry, you ain't catch me.
Yeah, I told you at first.
It is a case of, okay, we know the environment is bad, but if we can go in there for about 3-4 hours most, we help the public out. The cleaning is still going on, but then we move from that building just to the Clicquot building next door when that building is ready. So the move, it'll be just one move, it'll be a quick move, and that'll be over. As against having to go to either the Attorney General's office in Wilde or to those two different locations. And then in a few weeks after that, then they have to come back down to the Clicquot building. So yeah, that was their concern.
Okay, I follow. Right. Now, my second point now. Mm-hmm. Now, this is something I want to ask you to hear how you would respond. Now, if you was at home, okay, Sanka, you get a knock on your door. You answer the call, someone greets you, identify themselves, and told you that they are here on behalf of a particular candidate, calling the candidate by name. It's your birthday. They will say happy birthday to you. I'm here on behalf of this particular candidate and offer you one bottle of wine. Would you consider that as vote buying?
No.
What the word that would be?
The person is trying to make an introduction. They're trying to show you that they remember you and that they care. And that's it. I mean, look. I look at vote buying in a very narrow sense because, quite frankly, if we decided to look at vote buying in the widest sense, everything that is done by a political party or a political candidate can be considered vote buying. I mean, look, when you hold an event, a free event, when a party holds a free event, a free national event, and invites people, well, they're trying to say, I am the party that's giving you a good time. Don't forget to vote for me. Okay? If a political candidate decides he passes by your house, you realize there's a problem, you have a poor garbage collection in this entire area in the constituency he or she are running in. They get a truck, like Natalie. she got somebody to sponsor and the truck, and they came and they cleaned up different areas of the city. You know, everything a political party does is to get you to buy them votes. It's to get you to vote for them. So it can be considered as vote buying, and that's in the widest sense. So I look at it in the most narrow sense, where literally somebody offers cash in exchange for your vote. It's a specific thing, and it's calculated to just achieve one result. But everything a political party does otherwise is calculated to encourage you to consider them when it comes the time to vote.
Yeah, but because the two people already outlined that they had that same encounter in their particular constituency, St. Michael North, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, and one person is 49. I mean, someone just discover all the sign of my birthday as I reached my 49th year, I had a birthday.
But sir, election around the corner, so that's what would happen. I mean, come on, man. Come on. But people really care. This is ridiculous, you know. These are the things that are going to happen, and even more things are going to happen. But the whole point about it is that if you are determined, people only get upset when the person who does this is not the person of their, is not representing the party of their choice. That's all. But if the person was representing the party of their choice, they would have no problem at all accepting the gift and feeling very good about it. You would hear nothing about it.
But thank you. No, I said to myself, and I told the person, I'm so sorry that my birthday in January. I wish my birthday something this month.
Well, mine in a few days, so I hope somebody remember me.
I would have welcomed the
visit. I would take some cognac, though. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you, man.
Okay, man. Yes, we go back to the phone lines. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon, Mr. Price. How are you?
I am fine, thank you.
No, last week I was trying to get in on the program, but I didn't get in on the program. When you're always looking at the increase in bus fare for school children.
So it's not an increase in bus fare. It's a normalization of the fee. The fee is supposed to be $2.
Mr. Price, the bus fare for school children moved from $1.50 to $2. Don't let me split hairs.
Of course we have to split hairs because it can't be an increase.
Mr. Price, if it was $1.50 and it gone to $2, is a deduction?
What is the law? The law says...
No, Mr. Price.
But the law, it matters. Doesn't the law matter to you, Mr. Straker's tenantry?
Yes,
the law matters to your leader.
And we are going to get to that.
And the law simply says it is $2. The people in the Minibus Association people took 50 cents off. It was a voluntary act. And therefore, they have now taken back the 50 cents.
Good. So they increase it by $1.50
to $2. But if we go with that argument, so have the Democratic Labour Party parliamentarians who took back their 10%, was that an increase? They took back what was already theirs. I'm Sanka Price. And I'm
Mr.
taking
Price.
The argument to the ridiculous. If you want to say it, fine. But the whole point about it is, it's not an increase.
Mr. Price.
And you know what you like
Mr.
to say?
Mr. Price.
Don't let me worry about that. You move ahead.
You mix it up.
I just give you a hard time. How are you doing? I haven't heard you in a while.
Well, I am always on, but you know, I got my favorites like everybody else. You know, a drinker that's got his favorites, I used to have my favorites too. No problem.
So you get me by default today. Uh-huh.
Good.
Move ahead.
Mr. Price, when you was a schoolboy, school children and adults used to pay the same fare?
I don't know. I never used to get school bus.
No, there was something called a school ticket.
You used to have a school ticket years ago.
It was cheaper. It was cheaper, yes. There was a disparity in the fee. When the bus fare was $1.50, adults and school children used to pay the same fare?
You know the answers. Keep on talking. You know the answers. I ain't answering.
No.
Make your point.
You want a discussion or you don't want a discussion?
I want a discussion, but I want you to make your point. You keep asking me these questions.
But you got me here searching.
I told you I really didn't used to take a school bus. I only took a school bus.
But you don't have to take a... I didn't take none like that. I used to walk. I didn't take any, but I know what obtained.
Right, when the bus fare
was
gone. That's 45 years ago, man. I've been searching for that.
That ain't me that I forget. See?
Right. Mm-hmm.
When the bus fare was $1.50... school children used to pay $1. It was a disparity. So now if the bus fare moved from $1.50 to $2, even if it is not written down, there's something called standard and practice and customs. Mm-hmm. So it's expected that school children will still have a disparity. And let me show you what I mean, see? Because I got a problem with the Fourth Estate, you know, when it comes to defending us. See, the older writers and things that used to defend us to the hill, but somehow we don't get it now. When a bus gets stopped for overloading, they discount 3 school children to 2 adults. There's a disparity. The same Road Traffic Act with the fee says that children 5 and under should travel free. Do they travel free on the private vehicles? You can't got your cake and eat it too, Mr. Price. And these are the things that I would like to be able to put forward on behalf of the public. Can't got the cake and eat it too.
You know, you amuse me, you know. You and people who come with these arguments that are really splitting hairs. You heard on the news what Minister Lashley said?
Yeah, I heard what he said.
All right. The bus fare is $2.
It's
a normalization of the bus fare. Okay? Simple. If you want us to talk about issues, I could talk to you about real issues that need to be talked about that nobody talking about. Mr. Price, I can talk to you. Maybe hold a second. You want a discussion? Let me give you a discussion. Because this is something that really ticking me off. We had on yesterday the People's Parliament. It is something that all of us have signed on to here, and we are trying to get the information to get to the Barbadians to hear the issues. Your party, the ruling party, has refused to send people on the last two occasions to discuss the social services. When I was doing it, social services. And when we're talking social services, we're talking the same transport, we're talking education, we're talking welfare, we're talking national assistance, we're talking NIS. I can go on. They refuse to send anyone. Then they refused to send anyone yesterday for agriculture. Okay? Before then, they've sent people late, and most of them were unprepared. In fact, the only minister who came here was Stephen Lashley, the only minister. Okay? Now, whether or not you think the People's Parliament, or your party, sorry, not you personally, but your party thinks the People's Parliament is a talk shop or not, the point about it is that there are people who are listening. They want to hear the issues. Yet you are coming here telling me about an increase of 50% increase when it is no increase. It is a normalization. Okay? Full stop. If you want us to talk issues, Libby, you tell me why your people are saying they can defend what their stewardship, but yet they refuse to come here on the People's Parliament and discuss issues. You talk to me about that.
Hold a minute, Mr. Price. You want to hear my views on it?
Go right ahead, Mr. Spinbola.
I spoke on it, right? And I said that they either should make up their mind on it, and it seemed like they make up their mind on it. Either they can sign or they ain't going to sign, and the time that they can afford to spend. And I said, in my opinion, if it was up to me, I would not sign anybody. And when they asked me why, I would simply say, because I don't find it credible. So that is my take on it. And I can speak for me.
You don't find it credible.
So you don't find it credible that
Solutions Barbados, UPP, the Barbados Labour Party, and sometimes BIM, but most of the times they only miss one, BIM, they all come here, they discuss the issue or try to discuss the issues, they put forward ideas. They are at least are trying to tell the Barbadian public, this is what we plan to do if we are elected. Each party is saying that, but yet you are saying, as a member of the Democratic Labour Party, the ruling party that has been there for 10 years, the party that is saying that you know the way forward, that you don't have, that we still have more work to do, that nothing that is being said here is credible. Well, sir, I don't know what I need to say. I mean, you speaking for yourself.
Listen to me. That's why no one's going to correct you. You said, as a member of the Democratic Party, I speak as an individual. That's why I don't tell you that if it's up to me, I tell you to vote for the party will speak for itself. But me as an individual, I don't find it to be credible. And I can show you what I mean, you know, because I always be able to show you what I mean. The very first person that came was George Connolly. Obviously,
he was not prepared, but he's a very good candidate, but he was not prepared. Because I did that show.
Wait a minute, Mr. Price. To find 4 hours in the day is not easy. So you know, a fella can spend...
Excuse me? You want to represent people, but you can't find 4 hours in the day to come here? You are putting yourself up as, you are a candidate for a party. You are trying to run this country, but you can't find 4 hours in the day to come here to discuss the issues.
Mr. Price,
come again, man, my friend.
Listen to me. Some days you might be able to find, I myself that is calling is can't find 4 hours to hold
you
on.
You schedule it. All the parties were informed.
No,
you schedule it. People have to make sacrifices of time. It is scheduled.
Mr. Price, You just find you go split up your time, you got other things to do, you can spend a 2 hour. If somebody can spend a 2 hour, they can say, well, they can come for two, and they say they can either get somebody else to cover the next two, or don't bother with it. That is neither. Well, it would be an alternative. If one body can't spend four, get two tools. I certainly put up an alternative to do that. But you can't tell me that just because the program is for other people that come to programs and they go leave by a certain time or they come after start, it ain't only them. But this is what he was saying. From the time Mr. Connolly hit in there, you know, you ain't give him chance to settle when they jump on him and then on attacking him. I myself that same particular day took up the phone and called and tried to get him to give him a little help. But obviously, it was busy. I'd never get on the end of it without holding on from the line. But when they more or less brutalized him, and now you would come to Cebu, he wasn't prepared and he wasn't this. As you know, that's in your feet. You can't wet your feet like an expert.
You heard what I said with George Colley just now?
I heard what all you said. And I don't have to wait for
a
your
very endorsement. Good candidate, but he was totally unprepared, which was not fair because to him. It was not fair to him.
Right, he was not wet in his feet. Okay, well, cool. If you look at it from that point of view.
But the point about it is that the party was informed. Every party was informed about the People's Parliament. They were informed weeks before. And, you know, they had time to organize a schedule as to who was to come and whatnot. And I do not accept what you're saying whatsoever, sir. Okay? But we got to take a commercial break. You want to hold or you... Okay. Rastax, for those of you who are wondering why I really went after Mr. Straker's tenantry just now, is because the People's Parliament has got a tremendous amount of traction over there. In fact, as listeners, you would know, many of you turn on to hear what the parties have to say. I think it's downright disrespectful for the Democratic Labour Party not to send representatives. And the times that they did send representatives, a lot of these guys were not prepared. It is not fair to those guys. But it's also, most of all, it's not fair to the public. We as the voters want to hear what they have to offer. It is one thing for them to get at their any gathering, make statements, it's reported by the media. Nobody questions you. Nobody tries to pick apart what you're saying. You're just making statements. But the reality is that anybody can do that. But they will not get that same level of coverage because the media will always cover the people who are in power first, then the main opposition second, and then anybody else after that. That is how it goes. There is a pecking order. So they will always get the coverage. And they know this. And they have taken the decision clearly that they are ignoring this program. And it is, in my view, insulting and is disrespectful. And therefore, I had to take that position with Mr. Straker's tenure. And I will take that position with everybody else who called this program pushing their own partisan propaganda. I don't have a problem you pushing your own partisan propaganda, you know. I had no problem with that. Actually, because Mr. Straker's tenure is one of my favorite callers. I love to hear him. He comes differently than anybody else. I love to hear him. But the thing about it is that if we are talking about trying to represent people, you have to find the time, you have to make the effort to get here and to let the public know what you are discussing. Yet, when they have their meetings, many Dems have their meetings, they will always tell you, you know, what is the opposition saying? What is this body saying? What is that body saying? But yet you are not taking the opportunity out to come here and tell us what you are planning to do. It ain't good enough. It ain't gonna wash with me. Let's try to be fair about this thing. We all have our own perspectives on who should win and who shouldn't win and who should be governed. That is fine. But the opportunity has been provided through the People's Parliament for each party to put their cards on the table. And what we would like here at Starcom to do is to have that robust discussion so that the people, you, our listeners, can benefit. And we are being robbed of a total picture because the DLP refuses to come. It is not good enough. We take a next call. This is Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. It's 1:40. We go on to 2.
Hello?
You're on the air, sir.
Yes. Is this Sanchez?
It is.
This is Joseph Tudor.
This is who?
Johnny Tudor.
Hello. How are you doing?
I am not doing too badly. You can call me friend too. That's okay. I am in the immediate precinct of the Springer School. There's some suggestion that somebody recklessly or carelessly would have been lighting a fire or just creating some sort of burning sensation.
That was the initial report we got. Yes.
But it is not. The issue is that I walk the area opposite to my home in Tamil, where there's some construction going on above the school, but there's nobody with any fire or anything in that immediate precinct. I also walk the Little Higher Up, and the above there is the Joseph Broome School, and there's nobody burning. But there was still a scent that was coming from probably a way off, because I then drove around to see if it was coming from the pine. Or by the way, I used to be the parliamentary where we said it, right? Mm-hmm. I was saying by other them. But I assure you that I am no longer speaking other them. So I still take charge of St. Michael East whenever I have the chance. Mm-hmm. So there's no like treating people with disdain in the immediate area or just burning above the school recklessly or anything like that. So I wanted to dispel that because it would be unfair to the people living upwind of the school to think that they would be so insensitive to just go and light something above the school. They didn't do that. Mm-hmm. But there is a scent though. There is a scent in the east of it because something is burning. But it is coming clearly from a lot further east. And that is something that we should have in Barbados in general. Mm-hmm. The whole issue of people lighting fires in districts and treat others with disdain because I feel like burning my trash, I am going to light it. And a lot of that has emerged in Barbados. Barbados has lost a lot of its values and sensitivity to a lot of other people, including the government. As I heard you speaking just now, I compliment you on it. It is totally insensitive to take more time than the people of Barbados gave you to manage a country. And if you argue and you make an argument as the Prime Minister did, if you make an argument that you are taking the time that you have been given by the people of Barbados, it was 5 years. It wasn't 5 years and 3 months. And this is the second time that he has now stolen time. I don't know how you classify stolen, but clearly this is not time. The original salary that you're getting now is not what the people gave you. And there's no excuse in the world for the level of treatment. And we all know as you are on it and the People's Parliament, and I have to speak my mind. I came to this country in the year 1999 or around 2000. And this attitude that is being displayed now is exactly why I left the Democratic Labour Party. Because there was a dictatorial type operation going on, and I knew that someday I would be vindicated by the kind of attitude that prevailed in the party. And I'm not saying anything to slander anybody, because when you are elected to Parliament, you have the vote, and you could function in accordance to the mandate of the rules that govern governance of Barbados under the financial autocrat rules and so forth. But what prevailed prior to my leaving was a disregard for the operation of a political party under the financial autocrat rules of Barbados. That a company that provides financing and dictate what is going to happen in terms of procurement, et cetera, in this country. And if this country does not wake up and listen to what Dr. Richie Hayne said, that we should have a contractor general and an office that is totally nonpartisan, this country is going to go further and further and further down the drain. What is happening in Barbados is a painful act for the people of Barbados. And to have a God to come back to ask the people to put you back in for the third time, I compliment the members of the Democratic Labour Party. I compliment them because they have a lot of gall to be able to come back and say that they want a third term, having mismanaged Barbados for the last 10 years. You cannot come on a mandate and say that you are going to increase or no, even lower cost of living in Barbados. And in 2008, the same year that you were elected, the first thing you came and did was to increase the energy cost in Barbados by 78% plus VAT. And at the same time, $100 and something million in direct taxes out of the taxpayers. The country has never recovered, Mr. Price. Mm-hmm. And it does not even take advice when it comes to even securing money on the international scene. All businesses are doing, we are working our butts off to pay the interest rate on foreign loans, and we have nothing to show for $1.something billion at this time. And I'm not canvassing for anybody. I'm dealing with what is wrong in the country. I couldn't care less who is in government. But what is important is that they follow the financial act and be fair to the people of Barbados. You carry away all the money from them, now you carry away 3 more months from them again. It is ridiculous, Anker. I'm angry. And I was the minister, by the way, saved the money. I had $35 million saving at the Water Authority in 1993-94 when I was the minister. And I had $35 million, and I had to negotiate with the IADB, which was signed off by the late Sir Brian Fertig, to put in the storage project on the south coast of Barbados. Now, come on. Can you imagine, right, that we are a product? If you have, like, VR or them pretty foods, right? That boy might not like them, but they're expensive. And they got a good product and they got good marketing. You mean that Barbados is a beautiful island? I don't think that the preservation of the south coast of Barbados and the sewage and system out there will affect the product that we are offering to the international market. And part of the negotiation with the Inter-American Development Bank was that we pay a lot of attention to the management of the system, because we knew from the beginning that we didn't have enough money to put in the most expensive system that we would have had available in the world. We have a tiptoe attitude to how things are done in Barbados, because we don't have abundance of money, but we fear to the public. You give $100 million to market Barbados and $4 million to keep the maintenance of the plant. Now, will you not protect your product first? Because if you have a good product, you don't have to spend all that long money to market it, because word of mouth is going to bring people back to Barbados. And I really hope the people of Barbados forget all these individuals. I used to be a minister. Any one of the Barbadian public that has been trained, or you don't even have to be fully trained, can function as a minister in this country. There are brilliant people in Barbados. So there's nothing special about being a minister, but they believe that they have to be in power ad infinitum. That's what happened with Mugabe and things. Mugabe was 94. And we don't know what will happen if we had to put up with the president government for 9 years, 94 years.
All right, sir. That's it. All right, sir. But thank you for calling, Johnny. And
No problem, Saika. But I am nice not here, and I'm going to keep warning the public about this to be careful, because I was part of why they were retained, and I saw it firsthand. And they can't come and tell me that there isn't certain things that are taking place in Barbados that are inappropriate and against the rules of electioneering. When I ran, I said, Michael, he's like, yeah, I paid aside my polling agent. Because everybody in the Ivy know me and love me. Mm-hmm. So I was paying about the money to get me in Parliament. Mm-hmm. You understand what I mean?
All right, sir. Take good care.
But nobody around me in this house ain't burn nothing, okay?
Okay, man. Take good care. And we're going to go a commercial break right now, but I have Miss Undecided here, and she's saying the DLP will win again and that we're being unfair to the DLP. That's your perspective, Miss Undecided. It is your perspective. Ras, that's just me. Read this one WhatsApp before we go back to the phone lines. Good afternoon, Mr. Price. You are really antsy about the DLP absence. Since when parties let the media set the tone for them? Listen up, please. The People's Parliament keep trying to solicit from participants what their party would do. Well, sir, the DLP is actually doing the job. Why come and talk the same old again? Stephen Lashley's ministry is treading new grounds as an income stream. So yes, he can come and parley as it stimulates Bajans. But for most of the other topics so far given, the world and the island context, there's nothing new to say. Mr. Lane, this is Corey Lane himself, could verify no one yesterday made a significantly new point. Did you want the DLP to add to the rhetoric that obtained yesterday? Interesting letter. We go back to the phone lines. It's 1:52. We got 8 minutes. Let me try to get 2 calls in here. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon. I can hear you.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you today?
I am blessed to be alive.
That is great.
I'm nursing an injury, but thank God I'm alive. I would like to say, you remember in the Bible where God was leading the Israelites? And after a while, they get vexed and complain and wanted a king. You with me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead.
And God gave them the desires of the heart. But what happened after wasn't so good. My thing is, we have two parties that have been reigning for all the years of independence, yeah? And we don't know the characteristics of all of these people. We know certain things, but we don't know everything. But God knows. It is time that we start fighting one another for this party and the next party and begin to ask God what he would want. When I say my prayers, I don't care which of them I like. I just beg God, whenever election comes, guide the hands of the people to establish the government that he knows is best for this country. I don't know that fighting against this body and quarreling with this body and so on to put in this body and the next body. We need God to guide. We don't have a clue what we're talking about. We may want the B's and them come and do the same thing and disappoint. We may want the D's again and then we find ourselves in further hot water or better. The thing is for us as a people to, when we pray, ask God to guide the hands of the people when they get in those polling stations to establish the kind of government that he knows will do what is right. All this fussing and fighting should stop, you know? And that is my take on the whole political thing. We're going on every day, this body, next body calling in for this side and the next side and the thing. We have not a clue how the hearts of men are, but God knows it all. We need to get back to the one who knows best and start fighting in this country. As related to the school children and the bus fare, what the gentleman there was saying, I don't know if it was ever legislated, but I know what used to happen, that the children used to pay 50 cents less than the adults. And I don't know if the regulations in this country controls the full scope of the transportation, public transportation, if it was ever written down or legislated that this is what is to happen. But I know children always used to pay less than the adults. And children 5 and under used to go free. So that is another thing for the Ministry of Transport and Works to deal with. When I pray, we start fighting against our one another and ask God to do the choosing this time. We have been disappointed by both parties at some time, different times, but it is time we ask God. Yeah?
Okay, thank you very much. We take our last call. It's 1:56. We close at 2. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon. We try again. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
This is Brass. Right.
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
I am fine, thank you.
I ain't got much time, so I ain't going. Again, just got me with a short one that I had.
You have 4 minutes.
I'm a boy. I remember going by the cotton factory and catching caustic soda to put in English, but I had to conk your hair. To slick, get your hair slick. I said all that to say this. You go and dig up a place where real chemicals used to be stored in that place. You don't know what part of the area it used to be. But you dig up that place for asking questions and build a building. And air conditioners stack up outside and bring inside it. And I know that 20 people in a room with air conditioning ain't good, because it means that anybody in there sick, you could catch whatever they have. All they do is the air circle around and circle and circle around and circle. It's like getting in a doctor's office and everybody in there sticking you in the air conditioning room. I don't know everybody in Bible is like this lot of air conditioning. We used to build buildings. If you notice, the hospital ain't got much air conditioning about it at all. And the geriatric hospital, the same thing. They don't build buildings to encourage any kind of the barmers outside the building to come in. But we got everybody knows air conditioning, you see. So that's the price you pay for air conditioning. And I know that some the chemicals that they had in the corner factory, I don't know if they had.
I would like to think that there was some level of test done on the ground, and there was some
test,
some efforts to mitigate against all those things. I would like to think so.
We would like to hope a lot of things. But you ask yourself all these different buildings getting all these different problems. Mm. But look, you know how they got color wrongs in Barbados that you can't dig up all it now? Mm-hmm. Dover Pass, the pass that being St. Lawrence Gap, where he's in Dover, that was a cholera bearing ground. You can't dig up that. And they got certain places in Barbados that used to bury cholera people, and I have to know you can't dig it. Mm-hmm. And it must be got some place. I'm sure the cholera party must be store a lot of that caustic soda and the different things I had about there.
Right. Well, we don't have no evidence of that, but you know, I think as this story evolves, as this story evolves, we hear more and more. Anyhow, as the theme is going, we really have to go. I'd just like to leave this last one with you. This is from the WhatsApp. This person is saying, if there's nothing new for the politicians to say, this is the DLP politicians to say, or any other politicians say, why are they canvassing and holding meetings? Isn't that too a waste of time? I concur, sir. This has been Brass Tacks for a wonderful Wednesday, April 25th. I sincerely hope you enjoyed our program. I sincerely enjoyed myself being here. So on behalf of Mr. Graham Vaughan, our producer, and Mr. Kevin Hines, our production assistant, I'd like to thank you very much. Thank you for being with us and stay with us. We'll always be on top of things here on Brass Tacks. Take good care. Bye-bye.